Hi, and welcome to the McGregor Dementia Support Ministry Podcast, a podcast providing relevant resources to those currently walking the dementia journey with their loved ones. Today's podcast is a session recorded from our Alzheimer's and Dementia Seminar held here at McGregor Baptist Church on February the 18th, 2024. Today's podcast is entitled A Caregiver's Testimony by David Miller.
Good morning. In the summer of 2018, my dad moved to Lehigh Acres, 10 houses down from the street my family and I live on. My mom had passed away about 7 years before dad actually moved here. She died of an aneurysm in Texas, where we all grew up. I never tried to convince my dad to move to Florida after my mom's death, but my sister did. She tried really hard. I remember a conversation when she was pushing my dad to move to Florida, and he loudly proclaimed at the dinner table, "I'm not moving to Florida." But a few months after that, I was on a walk in my neighborhood, and I got a call from my dad. And he told me that he had decided to move to Florida. And as we were talking, I was walking past a house that was actually on our street. And it was a house that was not only for sale, but they were having an open house at the moment, and I knew the realtor on top of that. And so on the phone, I said, "Dad, you want me to check it out?" And he agreed, and 4 months later, he moved into that house without having ever seen it in person. He said he moved here because he wanted to be of help to my wife and I with our two boys, his grandsons. So when I shared the news with my wife about him deciding to move here, we were both excited about it. But we also understood the implications of this move, because more than likely, it meant that we would have the honor of caring for him in the last years of his life. And God saw to that. Next Wednesday, we'll mark a year after his passing. Now, the best term that I could use to describe the 4.5 years that Dad was with us here in Florida would be the word abundant. Kind of like when Jesus said in John 10:10, "I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly." The word Jesus is using there just means full. And those 4+ years that Dad was with us here in Florida, they certainly were full years. And one of the things that God reminded me during that season of caring for my dad is that abundant life includes both blessings and trials. See, having my dad back in my life on a daily basis was something I really hadn't experienced since I was 20 years old. But those daily interactions with him allowed me to notice the memory challenges that he was facing, even though he didn't want to admit that he was facing them. It took over a year between the first time I suggested he get a free memory screening to the time that we went for him to do his first memory screening. When we drove into the parking lot that day, he didn't want to get out of the car. He wasn't being ugly about it, but he told me, "I don't want to know if something's wrong. I don't know if I'll handle it well." I said, "Dad, if you had cancer and didn't know it, would you want to know it?" He said, "Yeah, I guess so." And then I asked him, "Would you want to know it even if it was incurable cancer?" And he quietly said yes, and he got out of the car to go in. And what I realized in that moment is what many of you have experienced or will experience. The roles truly were reversed. And I was providing counsel to my dad, and he was trusting me to counsel him well. And honestly, I didn't want that responsibility, because he had always been the one that I could trust for good counsel. And now, not only was his counsel compromised because of his dementia, but my counsel to him had to be reliable. Now, that didn't mean I became an expert on dementia, although this seminar each year was really, really helpful to me medically, legally, and spiritually. But what it did mean was God was giving me the opportunity to become my dad's advocate for the remainder of his life. And friends, that's at the heart of what a caregiver does. It's advocacy. If you're familiar with the Ten Commandments, commandment number 5 is honor your father and mother. And becoming my dad's advocate was just another way to apply that commandment to my life. It's interesting to me that in Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul mentions one of the benefits of marriage is sanctification. Or to put it another way, what God does in the covenant between a husband and a wife is he sovereignly uses the trials and difficulties in that marriage to grow both the husband and the wife spiritually. So one of the other things that I learned from the Lord in that season with my dad is that God does that same kind of sanctifying work in all our relationships, particularly family relationships. For those of you who are caregivers, you probably already know this, but the road of caregiving is hard. And yes, it's hard because it's painful to see the state of the person that you're caring for. And it's hard because you never feel fully informed on the decisions you make on their behalf. And it's hard because managing another person's health care is a full-time job, and many times it feels like a rigged game of whack-a-mole. And caregiving is hard for 1,000 more reasons, but it's also hard because what God does is he reveals our sinfulness to us in the pressure and stress of being a caregiver. In his kindness, God had to show me over and over again when I was not trusting him for my dad's future. I had to be reminded often that my dad had a creator who is sovereign over every neuron that was firing or misfiring in my dad's brain. And he cared for my dad deeper than I ever could. I had to be confronted with my own sinfulness, and the Lord used the caregiving process to do just that. There were times I was saddened and embarrassed by how short my temper was with my dad's situation. It's those moments when I had worked really hard to make something possible for them, and he was either disinterested or dissatisfied, or it just didn't work out. In those moments, I discovered a new level of selfishness that God made me face because he was growing me spiritually through this. Friends, this is why we need a Savior, not just for salvation, but also for sanctification. My dad came to faith in Christ when he was a teenager, as did I. But in the last years of my dad's life, God showed me that my own need for Christ was greater than it had ever been. And all during that season, the caregiving God of the Bible was caring not just for my dad, but he was caring for me also, the one who's supposed to be the caregiver. My dad easily forgot many things in those last years, but I did too. Which, by the way, as Dr. Mass just mentioned, it's why the command remember is in the Bible so often. Many of you know Kim Mitchell, the leader of our church's dementia ministry, and Kim's dad passed away about a month and a half before my dad passed away. And I remember her saying something to me after her dad passed, and it struck me as odd. She said she was disappointed that she wasn't with her dad when he actually passed away. And I didn't understand that at the time, but I do now. Because almost a year ago, I left the church campus to go do my Tuesday hospital visits to see a couple of our church members that were in the hospital. And I had just pulled into the parking lot at Gulf Coast Hospital when my dad's hospice nurse called me. And she told me that just a few minutes ago, my dad had passed away. She said she would meet me over there in his assisted living place. And in that moment, God graciously allowed me to remember that my wife was on her way to spend the day with my dad. So I texted her because I knew if I called her, I wouldn't be able to finish my sentences. And in the text, I said, "Hey, darling, my schedule just changed and I'm on my way to see dad too. Are you there yet?" And she texted me back and she said, "No, but I'm on my way." And I knew that she would get there before I would. So I texted her again and I said, "Wait until I get there and we'll go in together." And she texted me back and she said, "Okay," without asking why. And if you know my wife, you know it is a supernatural work of God that she did not ask why. But she didn't. So when I got there, I got out of my car, she got out of her car, and I hugged her. And I said, "He's gone, babe." And she wept more than I'd ever heard her weep in years, right there in the parking lot. So one of the other things that God showed me in that season with my dad is how hard the eventual loss can be on the caregiver's spouse. I had underestimated that. I wasn't paying attention to it. But my wife lives through the same 4.5 years with my dad that I did. So I would encourage you, if you are a caregiver, pay attention to the impact on your spouse and even your other family members, because they may grieve from the double burden of watching you lose someone you love that they also love. In the few weeks prior to my dad's passing, I had used one phrase in particular with him a lot. "You're almost home, Dad." I said it a bunch, so much so that I wondered if I was being premature. I mean, I didn't know, really. But he was bedridden and under hospice care for about 5 weeks at the very end. And he was confused and anxious at times, but when I would read scripture to him, or I would pray or sing, he would eventually settle down. And in faith, I would remind him and myself, "Dad, you're almost home." And now he is, praise God. In 2 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul encourages the believers in the city of Corinth in the first century with these words. He says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Friends, for the Christian, suffering is never in vain. There's always a God-ordained purpose for it. Suffering produces something. Spiritual growth, for sure, but even more so, as the Apostle Paul says, it produces an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Now, I don't fully understand what all that means, but at the very least, it means that suffering is doing something now and for all of eternity, even if we don't know what it's doing in the moment. And your caregiving journey, or maybe even your dementia journey, will test your belief in that. See, the distinction for the Christian is that we have hope. And the nature of that hope is the full, final, and forever redemption of all things by Jesus Christ, including our bodies, even a body that's struck with neurological challenges. So be encouraged this morning. Because in light of all eternity, all those who are in Christ truly are almost home. Thank you for the privilege of sharing.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please subscribe to this channel if you've not already done so, and leave a review if you found this content helpful.